Now transmitting around the world. This is Be My Guest with Brandon Horton.
Hello, Podcast Nation, and welcome to another episode of Be My Guest with Brandon Horton. This is the show that involves you, the listeners, by sharing your personal stories with our guests, sharing your shout-outs, and any advice you may need. You know me as Brandon Horton, and in this episode, you guys are going to know my special guest, Clay Walker. So it's great to have you on today. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So if you don't know who Clay is, here in the next probably hour or so, you're going to be knowing who he is. So basically, Clay, I consider Clay a good friend of mine. I've known him for a little while now, ever since I moved out to Denver. So Clay, currently, he's a movie producer. He's founded a local movie production company called Keep It Moving Productions. He's also an actor and film producer that's produced two films, Diamond in the Rough, which is available now on Vudu, and I think it's still available on Valeris TV as well.
Yeah, Amazon, too, I think.
And Amazon and Google Play Store as well. And he has another film, too, called Soul Custody, which is in the process of being distributed for you guys to watch here soon. A couple weeks ago, Clay actually attended the San Diego Black Film Festival alongside some of his cast for Soul Custody, which was pretty awesome when I heard about this. So basically, Soul Custody, you picked up Best Cutting Edge Film, picked up Best Feature Film, Best Female Actor was Aisha B, right? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Aisha B. And Best Supporting Actor, Clifton Powell. So Clifton Powell, if you never heard of Clifton Powell, you may have seen Clifton Powell, has a lot of film credits behind him as well. He's worked alongside many Hollywood celebrities such as Eddie Murphy, Jamie Foxx, Ice Cube, Cuba Gooding Jr., Terry Crews, and Chuck Norris. So, but again, thanks for being on here. So we'll kind of just dive into here and just get to know who you are. So first of all, just tell us about the whole experience of being at the San Diego Film Festival and including the award ceremony.
Oh, wow. That was an amazing feeling, Brandon. Because I remember because I was so grateful just to get accepted into the film festival.
Right.
I had no idea that we was going to win it. I'm being honest. And so, because I realized each film festival, they have thousands of submissions from around the world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If it's not hundreds or thousands.
Right.
So just to get accepted, it was an honor. But then when I realized that we won Best Film, I said, wow. I was very emotional. Because as I was walking up, I was the first one got on stage, and they gave me the plaque with the crew.
Right.
And they handed me the plaque, and I was so excited, and I made like a short speech. But I was reminiscing over my mind where I came from.
Right.
You know, I'm from the small town, Johnstown, Mississippi, population probably about 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And to be from there to that stage, man, I felt like I won an Oscar. That was a blessing.
So how, as far as your film Soul Custody, how did it get accepted in San Diego? Was it just through your connections? Was it just, you know, through...
The reason why I think it got connected because the message, the quality, and the performance. I strongly believe that.
Right.
Because you gotta understand something. You have to, and plus Soul Custody is a film, it's a cutting edge film that's outside of the box.
Right.
This is a one of a kind film, and I'm so proud and honored to be a part of this film.
Nice, and I'm actually really excited to, you know, and you'll have to let me know when it actually is distributed. I still have yet to see Diamond in the Rough because of my work schedule and my kids and my family, but that's actually on my list, and I've seen, for Diamond in the Rough specifically, I've seen that trailer, I think, countless times, and I'm like, man, it's awesome, just that whole trailer, and the great message behind that as well.
Speaking of Diamond in the Rough, me and my wife and the kids, we went to church yesterday, and the first person I walked in, guess who I saw?
Who?
The lead of Diamond in the Rough.
Really?
She was the first one. I've never seen her before, ever. I seen her one time since we shot Diamond in the Rough. It was downtown at a sports bar, like right before Rocky's game.
Yeah.
And that's been years ago. And so yesterday, she was right there. It was so great to see her yesterday.
Nice.
Aaliyah
nice.
Shepherd.
Scouting out churches or something. I don't know. I don't know how she found you. That was in a big city like this.
I can't explain it.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's incredible. So your films have also made it to this year's Las Vegas Film Festival. You told me earlier, actually before we started recording, that it got accepted to Los Angeles Film Festival.
That's Soul Custody.
That's Soul Custody. And Soul Custody also in France, right?
Yes, Canada.
Okay.
And we just was in Toronto.
And then the Toronto Film Festival. So just kind of going back to that previous question. So you personally don't submit these films to these festivals. Do you have a team that actually kind of does that for you? Or
I have to give another shout out to my friend Vance Zonabu.
Okay.
He's a writer. He's a director. He did a great job on Soul Custody. Thank him for letting me be a part of it. Thank him for just believing in me that I can pull the crew together and bring my resources in to take it to another level. Nice. And how you submit film is a company called Film Freeway.
Okay.
You have to submit your film through Film Freeway. Remember, you may get selected, you may not, because they get like, it was Without a Box and Film Freeway. Without a Box went out of business, I think a year or two ago. But now all the business is going towards Film Freeway. You may get in, you may not get in.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay.
And so once you submit your film to Film Freeway, you just got to hope and pray that you get submitted.
Right.
You get accepted.
And this is like the same company that I assume submits thousands and thousands of just all around the world, just different films.
There's, like I said, yes, you got Sundance. You got thousands of film festival around the world.
Right.
And a lot of people go through Film Freeway.
Nice.
A lot of filmmakers go through Film Freeway. Like I said before, you get accepted.
Exactly. Just like in Soul Custody too, when you won all these awards, it just adds credibility to that film.
Yes.
Too. So
yes, it's like people, and the number one reason, and I have to give a shout out to the state of Colorado.
Yeah.
And the city of Woodland Park down in Teller County. Teller County been a huge blessing to us because we shot Diamond in the Rut down there.
Okay, nice.
And we shot Soul Custody down there. And our next film that we're currently in development now with another film is going to take place in Teller County.
Oh, wow. Nice.
There's a reason why we love Teller County, because you don't have to jump through a lot of hoops.
Right.
To get it done. Like, for an example, location. Location scouting. You don't need a permit to shoot up in Teller County. But in Arapahoe County, in the city of Aurora, or the city of Denver, you have to jump through a lot of hoops.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, I've always been curious about the kind of the backdrop of how to actually, you know, get a film actually made, as far as like location, as far as the things that you need to do. I did not know that. I mean, I kind of knew that you needed permits for certain locations, but
down in Teller County, each county is different.
Okay.
Because they have rules and regulations per county.
Right.
But down in Teller County, which is, just say, Cripple Creek, you got Woodland Park, you have Victor, cities like them, little pockets up in Teller County, you don't need any permit.
Oh, nice.
And you don't need permit for drones.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay. Nice. I mean, like I said, it's pretty interesting to know kind of that whole kind of backdrop on, you know, things of that nature and the filmmaking. So we'll kind of backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
Here. Let's talk about your childhood. Now, you're from Jonestown, Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
Which is about an hour from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yep.
It's a population
yep.
of about 1,000 people. So yep. What was it like growing up in that area?
Brandon, I'm from a very, very poor town. And people there have no hope. When you want somebody... When people don't have hope, that's where you have violence. You have a lot of killings. You have a lot of violence going on. And I didn't have a father. My father got killed in a car wreck when I was a kid. And I had three brothers and three sisters. My mom wore the pants and the dress.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a struggle. One thing about me, Brandon, I'm not ashamed to tell people where I'm from.
Right.
You know, I'm not here to like sugarcoat nothing. I'm not here to make people feel sorry for me.
No.
I'm here to inspire people and give people hope, to let Don't let your current situation dictate your destination.
And you've actually, and you take that to heart too, because here a few years ago, I was talking to you about this earlier before we aired this podcast, was you had made a mini documentary about your life, basically.
Yes.
About like a short 4-6 minute video of, you know, Jonestown, Mississippi. And one thing that, a couple things that actually stuck out to me was you talked about there was a murder. I don't know if it was.
It was my brother.
It was your brother.
And my brother got murdered on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
My brother got murdered on my birthday. My father got killed in a car wreck. Get this, though. The day, I remember like yesterday. Remember, everything I'm saying, I'm not making this stuff up.
Right.
My job, for me, to you, and to the audience out there, is to be 100% honest.
Yeah.
I can't BS nothing.
No.
My job is to be real. And so I remember the day that my father got murdered. It was approximately 11 o'clock in the morning. And 2 hours before that, like 9, I looked out of the window because I lived in a trailer house. We lived in the trailer park.
Yeah.
And I looked out the window and I see my little brother in the passenger seat. And I'm 11 years old, and he's like 9. And so something led me out there to open up the passenger door. It's like 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And took him by the shirt, get out that car. I'm not making this up.
Right.
And my dad drove off. 2 hours later, there was a banging on the door. It was my uncle, A.D.
Yeah.
Let him rest in peace. My Uncle A.D. said, there's been a serious car wreck on Highway 61. Because Highway 61 would take you straight to Memphis.
Yeah.
He said, there's been a serious car wreck. It looked like your dad, Junior, car. We just called my dad, Junior.
Yeah.
And my mother and the family and the kids, we hopped in. I think we got in his car or when my mom drove up there. I think we got in his car and he drove us up there where the accident was.
Yeah.
And my father got killed right on the spot. He went, this is what they said happened. Back then, they had cars. These days, they have fuel injectors.
Yeah.
But back then, they had carburetors. Mm-hmm. So you have, if you get any kind of dirt inside of your carburetor, the car will cut off on you.
Yeah.
The engine was died. So my father went, he came to a four-way stop. He looked both ways, and he proceeded to go across the street, to go across the road. And the car died on him right in the middle of the intersection. And a semi-truck were coming north and one were coming south. It hit him head on. That's like hit him on the spot. That's a true story. But my brother still today, I still talk to him today.
Yeah.
He still say, thank you for taking me out of that car when I was 9 years old.
Yeah, because you never know what would have
happened. He would have been there too.
Yeah.
Cause I know for a fact we didn't wear seatbelts.
Right. Now, were you the oldest?
No.
No, you weren't.
So. I have another brother. I have my brother LC. LC, he died also. He died. He was alcohol. He's alcohol. He had sclerosis at the liver. He passed away. Then I had another brother, Jackie. Jackie got, that's the one that got killed on my birthday. Then I got myself. Then I got Mike, my baby brother.
Right.
So it's just only two of us. And I have three sisters.
Right.
My sister Helen. And I got another sister named Thelma.
Yeah.
And my sister, baby girl, is Mary.
Okay.
Varnell, a.k.a. Wow. Varnell.
Big family there. So, I mean, technically you did grow up with a mom, but she was always out supporting the family.
Yeah,
so who was supporting you guys?
At the time, we had 2 years on.
Yeah.
2 years old. You just had to my sister Helen was the one that when my mom was out, you know, trying to work and do what she can to bring ends in.
Yeah.
And my sister Helen, she kind of like was the one. Because I remember when I got caught on fire when I was like, you know, down south, you in the springtime, you can rake your leaves and stuff.
Right.
And how you do it down south, you just set the leaves on fire.
Yep.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
And so, and somehow some plastic got caught in the leaves. And I went in there on the reach to trying to bring it out. And somehow, freak accident, I got caught on fire.
Yeah, you were about 7 years old when that happened, too.
I was 7 years old. Yeah. I was 7 years old. And I got a bruise on my body right now that, and my sister was the one that kind of took care of me.
Okay.
To bandage me up and put some peroxide. Did what she could, you know.
Yeah.
To alleviate the pain.
Absolutely. Tell me what you're telling me now. I mean, you grew up poor, technically without a mother and a father. Mother was around, but she was trying to make ends meet for you guys.
She did what she could.
She did what she could. Yes, absolutely. Knowing you, knowing a little bit about where you're from, where you've been, and where you're going to, the journey has definitely been worth it all.
It's been a process, Brandon. Honestly, man, I'm talking about when you gotta understand, they still have racism down there too.
Yep, down in Mississippi.
They were just getting out of going through that segregation state. It still was there now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like it was in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, and 80s. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Actually, it was changing. It was growing.
Okay. When was the last time you were down there?
I need to go when my brother died.
Yeah.
My brother died.
How long ago was that?
My brother LC died. He the day when he died, my brother Mike found him on the floor. He drunk himself to death. And Mike found him on the kitchen floor. And I think it was probably about 3 or 4 years ago.
Sorry. Yeah. And you know, throughout your childhood, you've had a lot of ups and downs. Again, you know, earlier with a lot of downs. But age 7, you were involved in that life-threatening accident, suffered severe burns from a fire on your left tricep.
Age 7. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You also lost your left eye due to a gunshot wound.
Yes.
And yet, that's never deterred you from making a positive impact, not only for yourself but for those around you.
Yeah. I remember when I lost my goal was to go to high school. I went to high school, Coloma Agricultural High School in Clarksdale, Mississippi. And my goal was to be the best football player, go to my dream school, go to LSU.
Yeah.
Then go to the Washington Redskins. Because I want to get my family out of the ghetto.
Right.
To basically take care of my mom, my brothers, and my sisters. And my goal was to become the best football player, then take that skill set, and then go to Washington Redskins. That was my favorite team.
Yeah.
And then get back to take care of my family. But that's when I remember when I was in high school, and the first year I played football, I quit, Brandon. I quit. Because I couldn't stand the pain.
Yeah.
The physical pain. Meaning the workout is so hot in the boiling hot sun, the humidity, the mosquitoes. It was rough, man, running them gas. So my body wasn't used to that. So I quit. So then I went to a football game, and I seen them guys getting all the girls and stuff. You know, I'm like, man, they getting a lot of juice. I'm like, wow. And I used to sit in the stands, and seeing them guys, my friends on the field, and especially late at night, them lights shine on that maroon and white, that color. I'm like, wow, I quit. I said, I'm not going to quit next year. I'm going to fight through it.
I mean, pain is weakness leaving the body. That's what they say.
I'm going to fight through it. And I did. And I ended up getting rookie of the year.
Nice.
I was on my way. I ended up getting rookie of the year. Then I had a big trophy too. And then that next year, played again. And then that's when we had a pretty good year. And that next year, that's when my whole life changed. When I got caught in the crossfire and I got shot in the eye.
Somebody you knew or?
It's somebody I knew. Remember what I said in the beginning? Poor people argue the most. When there's no hope, there's a lot of killing. It's all about survival, fight or flight, surviving. Cause you're gonna rob when you take hope from a poor family, and you got a mother and a father, and the kids need to eat, and they gonna, that's a lot of drama going on.
It is.
In the hood. And so I just got caught in the crossfire, and I was walking, my friend Tony Bush said these words. He said, I'm sorry, let me back up. Tony said, he said, Clay, I'll be there to pick you up. My mom told me, don't go outside. It was during New Year's. Because right. How we celebrate New Year's down south, they do the countdown, and they thought everybody pull the pistols out. They started shooting. Shooting up in the air. What goes up must come down. And so, make a long story short, I don't want to be dragging along, but the guys started fighting. Guys was intoxicated. It was New Year's, drunk. And I'm a peacemaker. I don't like drama and stuff.
Right.
I know I'm not the violent type. My mom came from a great family, Christian family. You know, we grew up by treating people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what's going on, what kind of drama going on outside of you, don't let the drama get inside of you. It can be outside, but don't let it get inside.
Right.
You know, just treat people the way you want to be treated. Exactly. That's how I was raised.
Yeah, and that's
but I had the tendency, Brandon, to hang out with the wrong people. That's my problem. Is I'm a nice guy, I'm a great kid, I respect people, but I had the people that I surround myself with was bad people. They weren't the bad people that made poor choices. And
yeah.
So the guy they were drinking in the sub, the guy just, fight broke out, the guy shot the guy, and I went running, trying to get away, and buckshot hit me in the eye, two of them, and I lost my sight.
Nice. And then that's when your life changed.
That's when my life changed.
And so,
no more football.
So originally, you originally didn't want to make movies. You actually wanted to, you know, be in professional football.
Yep.
So at what age did you decide, hey, I just want to make movies?
First of all, my thought was I got to get out the South. I got to get to the University of Nebraska. I got to get out of here. I got to get out the South. I got to go with more opportunity. I tried Florida. And I was hanging out with my brother Jackie before he got murdered. Scared to death hanging out with him. I said, I can't be around this life. Because he was a drug dealer. Yeah. I'm just being real.
Right, now, of course.
Remember I said, well, people don't have a hope. They got to do what they got to do to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned to drugs. He's a drug dealer. And I'm hanging out with him. I said, man, I can't deal with that. I'm too scared. No, I can't get out of here. So my cousin, this girl I was dating, yeah. A girl again, in Mississippi, she moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, where her family was. She asked me to come with her, and I went. That was my opportunity.
Yeah.
Then I said, before I leave, I had to graduate from high school. I did graduate from high school. I had a patch over my eye.
Yeah.
I had surgery 14 times on my eye. I was in and out of hospital.
Yeah.
And so I went to University of Nebraska, and I said, you know what? I want to do something with my life. And I knew I wasn't shy. I remember this. This is when I caught that bug. They called it catching the bug.
Yeah, catching the bug.
This is when I caught this bug. And I was in the performing art department. Now they have Johnny Carson Center.
Yeah.
No, Johnny Carson went to the University of Nebraska.
He did.
But they had the Johnny Carson Center. But before that, I think they had the Lee's Center. And right off 12th, 13th, and Q at the University of Nebraska. I was sitting in the audience. And the teacher needed a volunteer to run on stage. It was 300 students in one class in the performing art department. He needed a volunteer. Some in the universe told me to raise my hand. And my hand went up so quickly. And it felt like something broke from me. I don't know what it was, like I felt free.
Yeah.
And I ran on stage. And I did like an improv or something,
yeah.
And people started cracking up. Students started cracking up, cause everybody else. I looked around. Everybody else had that fear.
Yeah.
When the teacher needed a volunteer, I'm looking around for like 2 or 3 seconds. Nobody's hands went up, so I raised my hand.
So you didn't have that social anxiety like a lot of people have when they want to go on stage.
I said, you know what? Something that I threw my hand up, and when I did that, I felt the fear. Leave my body.
Nice.
And the rest, that's when I caught that bug and I saw that reaction.
Nice. And that's when you, at that moment, you're like, oh, you know, I want to take this to the next level.
Yes.
Perfect. So, I mean, basically with, you know.
Then I had to, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. And then I had to, like, make a decision. Either New York or L.A. Nebraska's in the middle, in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Right in the middle. So I had to here, go right or go left. Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
I started dating a girl again. It seemed like everywhere I go, it's always like a girl get me on the pass. It's funny, right. But it's the truth. It's true though. Unfortunately, it may be whatever the case for somebody else, but for me, it was always a girl to get me on my pass. Because leaving Mississippi, it was a girl to get me to Nebraska.
Right.
Leaving Nebraska, it was a girl to get me to Arizona.
Wow.
Then I went back to school, Scottsdale Performing Arts School in Scottsdale.
Okay.
And then I landed in my bed. I said, okay, I'm ready to go to another level. Because I had this mentality as a football player. Whenever I touch a football, I'm going to score a touchdown.
Right.
I'm not stopping on the 40. I'm not stopping on the 50. I'm not stopping on the 60. I'm not stopping on the 10-yard line. I'm going to the end zone.
Yep.
I said, this is the mentality I have. I can't stop. I can't stop and I won't stop. And so I land in my bed. I thought, this is what I said. I'm going to go a little deep. I said, God, if you up there anywhere, bring somebody across my path. That's what I said. Because I'm ready to go to L.A.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the gym, getting ready to lace my shoes up to play pickup ball. My boy Jared Keckett nudged me on my shoulder. He said, Clay, you always talking about going to L.A. They're your man right there. Remember, I just made that prayer 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, who? Back then, they didn't have Google. He said, man, that's your guy from The Waterboy.
The movie with Adam Sandler, The Waterboy.
Yes.
Wow.
He said, that's the guy. That's Casey Bouguet. From The Waterboy. That guy right there, he had a blue headband on. He said, you don't believe me? We can go home right now. Because back then they have like desktop. They have like big, you know, you can't put them on your phone.
No, you can't.
Not back then.
No.
And then I'm like, wow. He said, man, Clay, don't get scared on me now. This is your chance. Go talk to them. That's him right there. The Waterboy, Three King, Jerry Maguire, some other stuff. He said, that's a guy right there. I went over there and started talking to him. I shared this dream with him. I said, man, I'm ready to go to L.A. I understand I'm not here to waste your time. I said, I'm chasing this dream. I want to be a filmmaker. I want to produce movies and be an actor in Hollywood movies. That's what I said to him.
Yeah.
He said, he said this to me. I got a lot of stuff going on, brother. I'm not here to waste my time. Remember, he played for ECU. He's a football player too.
Yeah.
He played for the Redskins.
Yeah.
For a little bit. Yeah, for a little bit. He said, if you're gonna run with me, you got to have a winning touchdown. You got to, when you pick the ball up, you have to get ready to score a touchdown. You may fall, but you got to get up and run with me, because I'm not here to waste my time.
Right.
He said that. He was serious. And me, make long story short, me and this guy packed up. He went through a person. He had some personal stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I had just broke up with my girlfriend at the time. He had just broke up with his girlfriend. He said, Brother Clay, I ain't got nobody holding me here. I had no responsibility. Brandon, we packed up, drove to L.A.
No, it wasn't a girl this time. It was him. So
it was this time, this girl. I said, come on. I just want to go and put my foot, just one.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Ocean. I just want to feel it. I want to feel that electric in the air. I want to drive by Warner Brothers. I want to drive by Sony. I want to drive by Paramount Pictures. I want to just physically see it.
Yeah.
I just want to touch it. If I can just touch it, if I can see it, I know eventually I will be here. We did that for one weekend and drove back to Arizona. A couple weeks later, he packed his house up in Arizona and we got a U-Haul. We didn't have a place to stay out there. We moved out there.
Wow.
Not even have a place to stay.
So what was your first experiences like just being there? I mean, you know, with not a place to live and just how did you get started out in LA?
How I got started, this is when I did it. I said, my advice to people, if you want to move to LA, you better be ready. Because if you're a hot girl, a beautiful girl, or a good looking guy here, there are thousands of them out there.
Yep.
You have to separate yourself. You have to separate yourself. And you can't have fear. Like, you got to be a risk taker. You can't be afraid to talk to people.
Right.
This what did it. I took Al to Sony Picture. I drove my Mustang on the lot. This is the truth. I pulled up to the gate. Al said something to the guy, Sony Picture. He said, my name is Al White from the Water Boy. They knew who he was.
Yeah.
I'm here to see Sandler, Adam Sandler. Drove my car on the lot, and I was like captivated. I was like, wow, I'm here. So I started talking to this guy. You got to be friendly with people.
Yeah.
You can't. That's one thing that people do that you can't do in LA. They do it here, but you can't do it there. They do it here, but you can't do it there. I'm going to say it three times. Right. They do it here, but you can't do it there. One thing is, you can't judge people.
No.
You can't look on the outside and say, oh, he ain't got nothing going on. If you do that, you'll get left behind in LA. Because out here, they wear a suit and tie. They ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Out there, they wear a dirty t-shirt and holy jeans and dirty shoes. Them the guys that write the check.
Yep.
The guys here wearing the suit work for the guys out there.
In the t-shirt. Yeah.
You can't do that. If you do that, you'll miss it. Yeah. And I'm so thankful that my mom always taught me, son, as long as you live, never judge the outside first. Be nice and kind to everybody. Because
yeah.
You never know who he or she is talking. You never know who you're talking to.
Exactly. Never judge a book by cover. Yeah, exactly.
And when I was said that, this guy, Al, ran up and took Adam Sandler this script. And I'm sitting in my car. I'm just looking around. This guy on Sony Pictures lot had dirty t-shirt on, walking the dog, had dusty t-shirt. He looked like a homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, I was so green, because you're not going to just be on that lot if you're not connected to somebody.
Right.
That's the rule of thumb. You're connected to somebody on that lot.
Yep.
Because you're not going to just be there.
Nope.
I didn't know that. But I was so thankful that I don't judge people. Al came down. I'm just start talking to the guy. Man, how's the Lakers gonna do this day? Just small talk.
Yeah.
You know, man, it's so beautiful out here. The weather's so nice. I'm like, wow, man, it's so beautiful. He said, man, where you from? Man, I'm just a country boy from Mississippi. I said, I'm just talking to him about the Lakers, talking to him about Kobe and Shaq and let Kobe rest in peace. I'm just talking to him about the Clippers and the Dodgers and that's a basic conversation.
Yeah.
By that time, Al came down. Al said, Clay, I see you met Adam Sandler, right-hand man, Jonathan Lachlan. He said, Jonathan Lachlan, meet my right-hand man, Clay Walker. He said, Clay, let's go upstairs. I want you to meet the rest of the crew. That right there, that moment took my mind on another path.
Wow, man. And so that's kind of where it all kind of started.
That's
there.
Where it started.
Yeah.
Mentally. It's not about the fortune and the fame, about the money. It's not about the materialistic stuff. That'll come.
Right.
But you got to get your mind right first. Mentally prepared. That's why I respect people like Brad Pitt. I love that dude. I never met him before. I love that guy. His story.
Yeah.
I love people like Jennifer Love Hewitt. I love people like Sylvester Stallone. I love people Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
I love people that, and what's her name? Pink.
Yep.
I love people that's come from a humble beginning. They worked their tails off. They from the gutter. They got rejected thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Yeah. I love people that grind at it. They stay focused on their dream.
And they don't want anybody to hear that. No. Because everybody has a story. That's why you can't
judge. They have no handouts.
Yeah.
I love people like, some people, when you been handed out things, you come from a wealthy family.
Yeah.
And they just give you stuff. You don't appreciate it.
You don't appreciate it. You don't learn from it.
You don't learn from it.
And you are so kind of concentrated on that aspect. Like, once that's gone, you don't even know what to do. Basically.
Yes.
So
that's why I always mention, I used to drive past La Brea and Sunset Boulevard. There's an Employer Locals right there.
Yeah.
That's when my man Brad got his start. Brad Pitt. That's why he's the first one. That's why I love that dude. Yeah. He's the one that really, 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 really lit that fire inside of me.
Yeah. So you would consider him kind of like your inspiration, your role model type thing.
Yes.
Nice. And then just kind of starting out, you didn't start out directing. You took small roles or you auditioned.
I started off with doing extra work.
Extra work?
Yes. It's what they call it, on-the-job training.
Yeah.
I just went up. I went to Burbank. I went to Central Casting. I didn't want no job, Brandon. I didn't want no 9-to-5.
No. Nope.
I didn't. I said, if I want to work a 9-to-5, I should have stayed in Arizona.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to sign up for Central Casting. I had a part-time job. So I said, I want to do Central Casting. So I just started doing extra work.
Okay. Just, you know, going around.
They had good, no, they what Central Casting does is they send you out. You just extras in movies and stuff.
Okay.
They send you out for movies, on real movie stuff.
Yeah.
And I was there for the food because I like to eat.
Yeah.
They got good food. And ask questions. Because I used to, most people just sit and all the cattle calls together, all the extra people sitting in one tent by themselves. I used to take my lawn chair and a book, and I used to sit away from people. I used to isolate myself.
Yeah.
I don't surround myself with the crowd. I just don't.
No.
You know, I used to always sit in the corner by myself, away from people. Had my headphones on because I didn't want to be associated with people because I'm not an extra.
No.
I'm not here like that. I'm not here. Like, if they happy just being an extra, I'm not, I respect that, but yeah. I'm not here for that.
Now, just what you mentioned earlier too is, you know, when you're out in LA, you may have a beautiful image of yourself, but you need to isolate yourself and get yourself separated.
What makes you stand out?
Yeah.
And I just said, you know what? And I used to always walk around and talk to PAs. Even though someone was jerks, I used to always be nice to them. Smiling, have a good day.
Yeah.
Ask the director. I'm talking about you some big directors now.
Yeah.
I was the guy that always asked questions. How does this work? Cameraman. I used to always ask them, just sitting back, asking questions, sitting back, watching. Now you, like most PA used to go get them extra people, and I used to be on the set.
Yeah.
Seeing this stuff happen at Sony, Warner Brothers, and Paramount Pictures, I used to be watching. Man, how they do that? Ask questions.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. I mean.
Just ask. But you can't be afraid. You gotta be respectful.
To yeah.
You know when they said, rolling, B camera, marker, action. That's when you got to kind of like lay back. But when they said cut, a lunchtime, or any kind of like breaks, just ask people questions.
Yeah, any type of downtime, yeah.
Just ask, man. Just ask. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all.
So,
but you got to be professional.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you don't want to come off too needy.
Yes.
On that one, yeah. So, were you an extra? Because you had some small roles too. So you were on the set of Scrubs. You were on the set of Everybody Hates Chris with Chris Rock. So were you considered an extra, or did you have like
a small, feature?
You were a feature. Okay. So what's the difference between an extra and a feature?
Extra is just guys walk. Extra is the people that walking in. But it just say you shouldn't have seen in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And you need to fill the restaurant and. The location's in the restaurant, but the scene take place at the bar.
Yeah.
But they need extra people to fill the restaurant seats.
Right.
Pantomizing, acting like they talking. Mouth moving, but you can't say nothing.
You're right.
That's all. But feature is like when you have one or two lines, or you can actually be a feature with no lines.
Really?
Yes. Huh. I'm gonna give you an example.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you an example. Criminal Mind.
Yeah.
Right? There was a scene called Zodiac Killer. The episode called Zodiac Killer.
I remember that one, yeah.
I was everywhere. My face was everywhere. Everywhere. In the blonde JJ.
Yeah.
She said, Clay, me and you in every scene together. You see what I'm saying? And, right. And the action took place right here. The camera's right here. But if you standing right next to the main actor, you're featured.
Wow. Okay. Nice.
You're right there. I'm talking about you can see that stuff.
Right.
Wow. And you can actually, because you get, it's all about the mental stage.
Yeah. And then from when you're on these sets, is that how you started making your connections and start like actually growing?
Yep. Al White is my first guy. And then I'm a likable guy. And how I started making connections it goes back to my foundation in Mississippi, where my mom used to always tell us, never judge a book by its cover.
Right.
You be nice and kind to everybody. I don't care, from the janitor to the CEO, from the guy making minimum wages or to the person making $500,000 a year, to the CEO. You don't worry about their titles, you don't worry about their choices. You will never ever lose in life if you treat people the way you want to be treated.
And speaking of that too, because you know, I was doing some research before this interview. Your production company, Keep It Moving Productions, that actually is one of the focus points too. Is you know, treating everybody how you want to be treated. You live off of your production company lives off of three basic needs.
When I came up with Keep It Moving Production here in Colorado, it's my mind, it's my state of mind, Brandon. Whatever challenging our face, whatever obstacles that come my way, nothing will stop me from achieving my dreams and goals. Because regardless of what your situation is, like I told the lady on the news anchor, I think it was Channel 7, you can't let your current situation dictate your destination. You gotta keep it moving.
Exactly. And then your production company focuses on the three I's.
The three I's.
The innovation, inspiration, and integrity.
That's it. The innovation is, you can't be afraid to be creative and think outside of the box. Inspiration is, you can't be afraid to give hope and inspire other people to chase their dreams and goals. And the number one thing in the solid foundation, you have to maintain, and you cannot compromise your integrity.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, and you've come from, you know, earlier in the interview, you've come from humble beginnings. I mean, and actually, when you're not, you know, working your part-time job currently, when you're not, you know, producing films, you're actually out in the public. Speaking to kids and volunteering too.
Yep.
I remember one video I saw. You were, I think, helping out the homeless.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Every Sunday morning, I teamed up with Panera Bread. And I just take their food and take it to the shelter. Actually, right now, in my car, right now, as we speak, I have food in my car right now that I'm going to the shelter. Wow. When I leave here.
It's amazing.
That's one thing when somebody say something, but you can't say, if you say it, you better mean it.
Right.
You better have some action behind the word that you say.
Yeah.
Because people might not say nothing, but they're watching your action.
Exactly.
If you say something,
you better follow through.
You better follow through it.
Right, or else it's just going to be meaningless.
It's just meaningless.
Yep, and they can't rely on you for anything.
They can't trust you.
Can't trust you, no.
Because that foundation is the key to your success.
Right.
Having a solid foundation is the key to your success. Yeah. So if an investor want to invest in you, if you don't have a solid foundation, if they don't trust you, you're not a person of integrity, they're not going to invest in you.
No, you're not.
They're not going to.
Not at all. I think one thing, you know, as we were talking throughout, you know, as long as I've met you, you talking about your films and stuff. I think one story kind of stuck out to me, which was amazing, was you were on the set of Hancock.
Yes.
With Will Smith, and you actually talked to Will Smith. What was that conversation? Because I know you told me a long time ago, and I just can't remember for the life of me.
Remember I said, I'm a risk taker.
Yeah.
When you're on the set, you gotta stay in your lane, but you gotta understand they're human too.
Right.
It's your approach.
Yeah.
If you're a pro, you can talk to anybody on the set. I was talking to Michael J. Fox one time. We was at Riley Studio in Manhattan Beach. Me and Michael J. Fox, I knew who he was, but I didn't care who he was.
Right.
I care about him as a human. I didn't care about him as an actor, because he's a human to me.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. Being nice and kind, it's free.
Yeah,
just talk to people nice. And them guys respect you more when you just treat them like normal people.
Exactly, when you're not so caught up in what they do for a living. Not at all.
I didn't ask him nothing about the business. I talked to him about the weather.
Yep.
I talked to him about just, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Dodgers, just basic conversation. And him and I had a great conversation. That's the approach that I have. Even when I was on Hancock's, I was talking to Will Smith. Me and Will Smith know some of the same people.
Yeah.
This guy I know, Dwayne Martin. I knew Dwayne Martin back in Nebraska. He's dating Tisha Cameron now.
Okay.
They married. Him and Will is like boys. They best friend.
Yeah.
But I knew Dwayne 20 years ago, back in Lincoln. Yeah. We used to play basketball against each other. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then when I got to LA, and then I was on the set of Hancock's, and me and Will just started talking because I knew they was best friends.
Yeah.
I said, man, when you see Dwayne, tell him Clay said hello. He looked at me. He said, you know Dwayne? I said, yeah, I know me and Dwayne go back 20 years ago, back in Lincoln, Nebraska. We used to play 3-on-3 pick up basketball game together. Then I said that to him. I said, Will, I love what you're doing at Overbrooks Entertainment. That's the name of his company, Overbrooks. Yeah. I said, man, I respect you so much. Congratulations on your success. He probably don't remember because he have like a lot of things going on.
Right,
he's a busy guy. But I remember. He said this right here to me, and it stuck with me, and I'll never forget it. He said, Clay, why do we exist as human beings if we can't make other people's lives better? Once you make other people's lives better, your life gonna be phenomenal.
Right, and that's something you've been doing consistently throughout your life.
When he said, I'm so thankful that he said that to me. Cause Aaron Spizer, his coach, was sitting there. I was sitting there, Will was sitting there. He said that to me. And that inspired me.
Do you think that was like a reassurance? Because you've been doing that most of your life, taking care of the needs of others.
When he said that, that's when I said, okay, what can I do to help other people? What can I, if you're connected to me, I want to make your life better.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that in my mind until he said that. So ever since I've been here in Colorado, I said, I have to make other people's lives better.
Right, and you've been doing that.
I said, I want to go start feeding the homeless people. So I started feeding the homeless people. Ever since I've been doing that, Brandon, I'm starting to know the projects right now.
Yeah.
The flood, because you can never outgive the universe. God or whatever the case you want to believe, whoever you believe in, you know, or whoever people want to believe in. And I believe in God. Yeah. People can believe what they want to believe. I'm not knocking nobody's religion, nothing like that. But whatever float each other boat, all I'm saying that, all I can do is, the reason why I believe in God is because all the physical, all the hell I've been through in my life, from getting shot in the eye, you know, getting caught on fire, had 2,800 pounds, fell through the ceiling. I was working in Nebraska. They had to teach me how to walk again. My brother dying, my father dying, all this spiritual challenge I went through, the physical wounded scars on my body that I went through, you know, all this hell I've been through in my life. And I was, it does something in the universe help me here for a reason. Something. That's why I believe in God, because what I've been through.
Yeah, and you've been through a lot.
A lot of stuff, man. And it ain't like I'm just, I have scars on my body. I have wounded scars on my body that you can physically see.
Yep. And on my body. And I've seen them.
There's a reason why I'm still here.
Yeah.
And I'm here to give people hope. Okay. That if I can make it, you can make it.
Absolutely. And you also have a family of your own, too.
I have my wife, my kids, you know, my son. He's I got a lot of talented kids, creative kids.
Yeah.
And I love all of them.
Nice, nice. Now, your daughter specifically, is she interested in...
Now, she started asking me now.
Is she asking you questions?
Now, she started asking me questions about getting in acting classes.
Yeah.
Because people, when you share something with Brandon, they think it's just a pipe dream. Because I remember when I wrote Diamond in the Rock on paper, on three sheets of paper, it went from my head, because I had this vision. I was in Sundance.
Yeah.
I was in Sundance with me and Dermot Maroney together. Mm-hmm. We did the Rambler.
Right.
Down in New Mexico. Me and Dermot was together in Sundance. I said, I want to do that. My mom said, if I say it, I'm going to do something. It's going to happen. And I wrote it on three sheets of paper. My wife can co-sign for me. She saw it. And it went from my head to paper to I called Louie up, my friend Louie up in Arizona. He took the script. He wrote the script for me. We, Jordan and I, thank God for my partner, Jordan Warner. I got to give him props, too.
Yeah.
Jordan believed in the project. Jordan was an investor in the project.
Right, and he's part of Keep It Moving Productions.
I got to give Jordan his credit, too. He's a good dude. I can't take all the credit.
No.
I got to give shots out to my boy Jordan Warner. He's a good dude, good guy, you know. And so Jordan believed in the project, and we work well together.
Right. And Diamond Rough took you, what, I think 6 years? Was it longer?
Probably about 6 or 7 years.
To actually come together. Yep. So what do you think maybe took so long for that 6 to 7 year process? Was it just...
Funding. That's the number one thing, funding. Reason. And so, Brandon, what I want to share with people throughout this whole process, I share with people this. What I'm about to say can either make you or break you. Okay. And I just shared this with somebody last night.
Yeah.
When you want to do this business or whatever your dreams are, you have to look at the top three people that's on your list. Not your wife, not your kids, not your relatives. Your top three.
Okay.
Either they're adding or they're subtracting to your dreams.
Oh.
Either they're adding value to your dream. Y'all work together, or they're subtracting. That right there is a killer. Yeah. That negative person that's telling you what you can't do, people are dream killers. People will tell you what you can't do because they had a dream and they gave up. And now they're trying to take that negative spirit that stopped them from pursuing their dream. They're trying to put that on you. You have to separate yourself.
Yep. got to separate yourself, got to isolate yourself from that, all that negativity.
You have to.
You have to in order to pursue what you want to do. Now, your film, Diamond in the Rough, it's about a family that struggles with, you know, issues of PTSD, substance abuse, homelessness, and how that family overcomes it together. Now, would you consider the whole script?
If you look at that,
yeah.
If you look at the one sheet, it says story by Clay Walker.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. Was it based on the story of your life?
Yes. Yes. 100%. I just modified it. You know, and Stella, the guy going to the military, my father's in the military.
Yeah.
You know, but my father turned, he became an alcoholic. The story, so I modified the story and took it to the mom being an alcoholic, the father going out to the military, and this girl became homelessness. Only thing she leaned on was her faith.
Yeah.
That's what Diamond in the Rough is all about.
Right. And like I said, I've seen the trailer, and I have yet to see the movie, which I don't know why I'm putting it off for so long, because like I said, I'm busy with my girls and their health issues and work, and I've got, like, I think, piles and piles and piles on my plate when I'm trying to kind of do that. But yeah, but I mean, like,
but Soul Custody, Diamond in the Rough is a great film, but Soul Custody is the one that's going to put Colorado on the map.
Nice.
That's the one that's going to create jobs and opportunity for the fortune people and the less fortune people. I don't like to call people homeless. The only reason I make film, Brandon, is to share hope, create jobs and opportunity for fortunate people and homeless people. Now, I'm not going to use the term homeless and the less fortunate people.
Right.
That's why I make movies, to make a difference in people's lives.
Nice. And you've been doing that too. Like I said, you've been doing that just from day one too, up to what you're doing now, volunteering, making movies, making sure, you know, those needs are met, making sure you're, you know, being that role model that everybody needs in life. Mm-hmm. And so, what's next for you?
The next thing, Brandon, I got to keep my why. I got to keep my why. I can never lose sight of my why. Yeah. Because if you lose sight of your why, you will lose sight of your way.
Yeah.
My why have to stay strong. Like, I have to keep asking myself, why am I doing this? It's not all about Clay Walker. It's all about the community.
Yeah.
The next thing for me is getting ready to do another movie. You know, I got Colorado Global Film Festival coming up. I'm created a film festival. And got 3 or 4 projects going on right now. And I'm going to keep plugging at it.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep plugging it. I'm going to keep chipping. I'm going to keep chipping. Because my why is not all about me. Yeah. It's all about the community, making other people's lives better.
Right, and looks like you've been doing that too. So we've got some emails. I've been emailing through, you know, my Facebook page, Be My Guest with Brandon Horton. People have been submitting me their emails regarding their dream inspirations and career paths. And so this first email I got actually from Carly from Mesa, Arizona says, my dream job is to work on a movie set, either directing, being a camerawoman, editing films, or working in the art department. So she says she loves the idea of helping create content and working with others that have the same vision. I'm in college and pursuing a college degree that doesn't reflect my true passion. Is pursuing a film degree worth the money? Do you think so?
Yes.
It is.
It's not about the money. It's all about the time.
Right.
If you harness your craft and perfect your craft, the money will come.
Now, as far as I think what she's referring to is it worth the debt, the college debt? Is it that film degree, is it worth pursuing, you know, that having that college debt?
Yes.
It is still?
Yes, okay. It's worth it. Okay. I strongly believe it's worth it, because if you make one film, you can always pay that debt off.
Right.
But it goes back to the key, the foundation. The foundation is not to get caught up on the money.
Right.
Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about it. Perfect your craft. Just perfect the craft.
Right.
And the money would come.
Now, when you went to college in Nebraska, now, was film, was that something that you were pursuing as far as a degree, or was it just complete something opposite?
I did not complete the University of Nebraska. I didn't graduate.
Right.
I didn't. I just went for probably about one semester.
Okay.
I caught that bug then.
Yeah.
When I caught that bug, I ain't need to know more. When I caught that bug, Brandon, it's like my whole life changed.
Yeah.
Because that's certain thing that you can't learn in school. Being a good person, you can't learn that in school.
No, you can't.
You know, treat people with respect. You can't learn that in school. And this business, you can go get all the degrees you want to. You can have more degrees than a thermometer. What the use of having a degree and you're not using it? Don't regret getting a degree. Regret not using it.
Right.
This business is not for everybody, Brandon. Yeah. It's not. Because you got to put the damn blood, sweat, and tears in.
Right.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be something. It's called that thumper. It's got to be in your heart. Yeah. If it's not in your heart,
then why do it?
Why do it, man? You're not willing to pay the damn price and take that ball and score a touchdown and fight and claw and grind.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to put the work in, don't do it.
Right. Amazing, amazing. And the next email, Joshua from Shreveport, Louisiana, he actually was talking about pursuing acting not as necessarily a career path per se, but more as a hobby. So he says, I'm interested in acting as a hobby, but not so much a career path. I suffer from social anxiety, and I'm hoping that picking up a hobby such as acting could help. So his question is, how do I start? Where do I go from here?
Start right in your living room. Start in your living room. Everybody got cell phones.
Yeah.
Everybody got cell phone. You know, you can have like your cousins or your daughter hold your cell phone up while you're sitting on the couch with your brothers or your sister. You got to say, just give an example. If his he loved comedy, or he loved drama, or he loved action. Just to break that anxiety down, just start in your living room. To have your mom or your brothers and sisters, just have your cell phone and go get a chair, two chairs, and you got one in the driver's, one is sit your brother and sisters, you sit in the chair, and the other person in the chair, just say we doing a drama scene.
Yeah.
And you just have the cameras right there in your living room, and you want to fight about their boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
Josh, your girlfriend cheated on you. How do you feel about that? He cheated on you with your best friend. How do you feel about that? You cheated on me. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I have proof. That's how you start. How you start. It's just sitting there. That's how you start. Because right. Eventually it's going to go from your living room to out in public.
Exactly. And so when I was actually, and funny story on this one, because when I was in high school, I wanted to pursue acting. And so 2001, 2002, I believe, when I was a freshman, sophomore in high school, I was in performing arts locally for my school. And so for me, I wanted to take that to the next level. Like with your directing, you want to take that to the next level. And so I'm also from the Midwest. I'm from Kansas.
Right.
And so really small country guy that's, you know, really didn't have anybody there. So I did my thing, you know, in high school, did some acting. And so right. I wanted to pursue that to the next level. And so I heard a time or two on the radio in Kansas City, which is about an hour and so from where I was from, you know, on the radio, said, hey, you know, come in for an audition to this company and, you know, see what happens and all this. And so I made the phone call to this talent agency called John Robert Powers. John Robert Powers has been around since, I think, 1920. And so I made the phone call to set up an initial appointment to actually get in the door and actually audition. And so, and I remember it too, is I was in this room full of, you know, moms, dads, brothers and sisters and other, you know, people my age let, you know, had their inspirations of either modeling or acting. And so I, you know, improvised in front of this large crowd of, I think, about 500 people and plus. And then from there, they set us into this little room individually in front of a camera and then said, hey, here's a script right here for a commercial. You know, you have 10 minutes to memorize it. After that, you know, see, let's see what you got. And so I did that. And I think it was a made up commercial for like Sprite or something of that nature, like a beverage drink. And so I received a call a couple days later saying, hey, we just reviewed your video and we would love to have sit down with you and see how you can be a part of our agency and how you can have an agent. And so I went with my parents to this meeting. And so basically John Robert Powers wasn't just a agency, but it was also a schooling to kind of craft your acting and modeling. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, through my parents, you know, God bless my parents for helping me out with this. We sat through this meeting and they came up with the fees and stuff of, you know, getting you an agent, getting you, you know, into this agency to take classes. And so my parents gave me that decision. They go, hey, Brandon, either we can invest in your college education or we can invest in your dream right here. And so for me, it was a no-brainer because acting is something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to lend my voice out and just be creative,
right?
Have a creative outlet. Because back in high school, I didn't have any friends. I was very isolated, you know. Not like I didn't want to make friends. I tried to, you know, be myself, but it was just that niche, like, you know, people have their cliques and stuff, and I was never a part of any clique. I was actually that guy who, you know, on Monday found out that there was a party with a whole group of people on Saturday. And so I was always just kind of left out, you know, in high school. And I always did things by myself. So I thought, you know, having a creative outlet, doing something that I can do, something that's mine, that nobody else has, you know, right, that I can actually be proud of. And so my parents invested a lot of money. They invested, I think, $10,000-$11,000 just into me going to acting classes. And I did that twice a week. I did that on a Saturday morning, and I did that on a Wednesday night, you know, during after school hours. I would just take my car and I would just go and do my classes there. And then each Saturday they had they flew in people from like Nickelodeon, TBS, TNT, USA, casting directors, and so you have the opportunity to audition in front of them for one time only type thing. Now, while that never kind of done anything as far as me getting my, you know, foot in the door as far as acting and performing, it actually did get me in a roundabout way to LA for a week. They have a convention that's still going on right now called the Internationally Modeling Talent Association, which is IMTA. They have two conventions a year, one in New York City and one in LA. And so I auditioned with like the head people of that foundation. Right. And so when I auditioned with them, I was one out of the hundreds of people in that agency. I was accepted to actually go to either, I have my choice, I can either go to LA for a week or New York for a week. And I was a senior in high school at this time too. And so with that, you know, I did my thing, did my audition. And I think it was like 12 of us that got accepted out of the hundreds of people to go to LA. And so LA at the IMTA convention there, you sit with casting directors, producers, Ashley Green from the Twilight series. She was actually at the convention that I was at before she even got noticed and recognized. So, you know, a lot of times we were actually in the same room together. And so through that, you know, it was quite an experience because you had, you know, thousands of people from around the world, you know, mm-hmm, pursuing that one dream. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, nothing really came of that. But, you know, for me now, kind of reflecting back to what I did, you know, and doing this podcast, you know, I still want that creative outlet. Maybe not necessarily acting in a roundabout way, but I want to lend my voice, you know, just the way you lend yourself out to people as well. Like, I'm a person who likes to take care of people. When I went to, you know, college, I pursued my degree in organizational leadership and a double certification in communications and leadership studies. I love taking care of people, not in like a medically type way, but I want to make sure that I'm building a relationship with you and making sure your needs are taken care of, making sure, you know, we're in this together type thing. And so I think you lend out my voice to this podcast too, is just like, you know, and sharing my story, sharing my guest's story, sharing the listener stories. It's just really all about just kind of inspiring people.
Yes. So good. good.
Yeah. So this last email I got actually is from Mike from Las Vegas, Nevada. He says, I'll be 24 in August and haven't decided on what to do as a career. I've thought about pursuing a physiotherapy degree, but I'm not good with math and numbers. I currently care for a family member as a way of earning an income, but it's not stable. What should I do?
Well, you have to search within yourself. Does nobody know you better than you know yourself? You got to do what makes you happy. The number one thing is be honest with yourself. Finding out what you're good at. And you got to also remember finding out why you want to do what you want to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to really, really do some soul searching. You got to ask yourself why and what are you good at.
Exactly. It's just like, don't dive into something that you don't like or don't enjoy. Exactly. Because it's going to, you know, not only eat you alive, but...
And my advice I tell a lot of people, you got to feed your family. You got to do what you got to do. Do not work a full-time job. I mean that. Don't do it. Working a full-time job is a dream killer.
Yeah.
I'm just being real.
Right.
My job, my advice to people is work a part-time job. Because there's 8 hours. Most people work 8 hours a day. Yeah. They're miserable. They're too tired to get home to chase it, to do what they would love to do.
Right.
Why not work 4 hours a day? Why not give the company 4 hours a day and you keep 4 hours for yourself? That's make a lot of sense to me. Why should I continue to grease somebody else's wheels when my wheels is getting rusty?
Yeah.
Why not work 4 hours a day on to put gas in your car, to take care of your responsibility, right, to take care of your family part-time? And the other 4 hours, you work towards your dreams and goals. That's make a lot more sense to me.
Exactly. I mean, working a 40-hour job, I mean, it's great for a lot of people.
My coach used to tell me this. If you work a job, you just earn a living. He said, but if you work on yourself, become a better person, you work on your dream, and your dreams come to reality, you earn a fortune.
Yeah.
You work a job, you earn a living. But you become a better person, working your dreams and goals, and that dream will come true, you earn a fortune.
Right. And the reality of that, too, is, you know, people that work a 40-hour job, while that's great in a lot of aspects, too, you're actually, statistically, you're actually at work more than you're at home and doing what you want to do.
Yes.
I think.
Because, you got, Oprah said these words a long time ago. Another thing that stuck out to me. Oprah said these words, what separate me from other people, we all human beings. White, blue, color, I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care what your politics, none of that stuff. We all have 24 hours in a day. 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
The only thing that separates me from everybody is how I use my 24. Wow. People say, I wish I had more time. No, my friend, it's been 24 hours since day one.
Yeah.
It's going to be 24 hours before you got here. It's been 24 hours while you're here. It's going to be 24 hours when you're gone. That ain't going to change.
Nope, it's not.
Ever going to change. The only thing that separates people is how you use your 24. Most people say, I wish I had more time. That ain't going to change, brother.
No.
Yeah, that ain't going to change. Don't wish things were worse. Wish that you were better. Exactly. What can I do to be a better person?
Exactly. Don't worry about how much time you have. Worry about how you're going to prioritize your time.
Yes. At the end, that's why I said it goes back to do not work a full-time job.
Right.
Don't do it. Working a full-time job is a dream killer.
Yeah.
That's a trap, man. That's a trap. Why not, like I said before, why not you work 8 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
Why not just go get a job and work part-time and find out something that you're passionate about? I don't care if it's, it don't have to be acting.
No.
It can be whatever you want to be, whatever your dream is, whatever it is.
Right.
It can be starting a nonprofit. It can be whatever the case may be.
All right, it could be something simple as...
Simple.
picking up a paintbrush and painting.
Yes. Something like that. Yeah. It can be painting. It can be whatever. It can be writing. Whatever that. Whatever you have in your mind that you want to do.
Yeah.
Why not work? Why not work 4 hours on a part-time job, then work 4 hours on your dream? Because eventually your dream gonna come to fruition and gonna blow up. It's gonna be huge. Then you can quit that part-time job. Then you can focus all that 8 hours on your dream.
Right.
That makes more sense to
it
me.
It does.
But number one thing is you can't put no time in your dream. You can't say, I'm going to give it 2 years. I'm going to give it 3 years. I'm going to give it 5 years. No, don't do that.
No, don't put a cap. Don't put no cap on it. Yeah.
Because it might be 20 years from now. Colin Farrell went on 2,000 auditions.
Yep.
2,000. He got 2,000 no's. And that last audition, that one yes changed his life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all depend on how bad do you want it.
Exactly.
Are you willing to persevere?
Yeah. Are you willing to persevere? Are you willing to get all through the no's and all the naysayers in order to see a silver lining at the end?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that you can get 1,000 no's, 10,000 no's, but that one yes will change your life.
Exactly. And it's like, how much are you going to endure in order to get to the end?
How much are you willing to keep it moving?
You're right.
Are you willing to put the work in? Are you willing to all the no's, all the naysayers, all the dream killer, all the negative people?
Right.
Are you willing to grind?
Exactly.
That's why I love that movie, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
I think I told you about that.
Yes.
That dude had, that's a favorite scene in that movie. When Andy Dufresne wanted to get out of prison, he wanted to get untrapped. I think it was like a little bit of, like a little knife, like a little hatch hammer or something.
Yeah.
He just kept chipping.
Yep.
He kept chipping. He kept chipping. He kept chipping. He kept chipping. And that hole ended up being in, what they say, 5 football fields?
Yep.
That's 500 yards.
Yep, it is.
He, with that little bit of nail, how bad do you want it?
Yeah, it goes back to that why.
How bad do you want it? And why you doing it? Your why will keep you going.
Exactly. Exactly. Amazing. Amazing. Just kind of wrap up the podcast here. Yeah. So we got some shout outs here from a few other emails I received from the first episode that we did. So Kevin out of Little Rock, Arkansas says, hey, Brandon, I enjoyed your first episode with you and Scott. You guys had a lot of great stories to share, and especially Scott's stories of getting pulled over and giving the officer a little bit of lip. That was very ballsy of him. And I laughed so hard, so I appreciate Kevin for that email. By the way, if you guys haven't seen the first episode or heard the first episode, it is on SoundCloud right now. So, and I will have the link to my Facebook page here sometime here for that as well. Betty out of Fargo, North Dakota, or Fargo, says, hi, Brandon. Great first episode. How did you come up with the name of your podcast? So basically with the name of Be My Guest with Brandon Horton. It actually really wasn't supposed to be my guest, Brandon Horton. I actually, originally when I had this planned out, because I've been planning this podcast for over a year now about how I wanted to do it, what my message was going to be, how I was going to, you know, do all of this. And so originally with this podcast, I was actually had originally, a monthly guest who was just a consistent guest with me. And in fact, actually the podcast was supposed to be Beyond the Pavement with the message with Beyond the Pavement was, you know, with the pavement, if I can't talk for the life of me today, but with Beyond the Pavement, a pavement is just solid ground. It's level. And so when you go beyond that pavement, you're walking on unstable, rocky roads. And so with me, I want to think of like some topics, think of some ways to kind of, you know, how am I going to get my message across? Because I don't want to unfilter myself, uncensor myself at any means. Because, you know, with me, you know, with my work, with my family, I censor my life. I censor that aspect of my life. You know, I want something for myself that's not censored at all. And so I guess going beyond that pavement is going beyond the imagination of what we can talk about. And so originally, you know, Scott was going to be my guest throughout the whole journey here, but you know, things happen, things you know, don't work out that way. And so being my guest was involved that way. I have a new guest, each episode. That way we can share personal stories together on various topics. So that's really how the name of the podcast started. So thank you, Betty, for that. And the last email I got was Nate out of Memphis, Tennessee. He goes, "Hi, Brandon. I enjoyed listening to your first episode on the bus heading toward my college campus. You and Scott shared some very interesting stories in a good way, and I look forward to hearing more from you. So I appreciate your guys' emails. I keep them coming for the next episode. I appreciate Clay for being here today." So so again, Diamond in the Rough is available right now on Vudu through the App Store, through your streaming players, Roku. I think it's also available on Google Play Store as well. So check that out. I'm yet to watch that movie too, but I've heard a lot of great things about that. Anything else you want to add? Anything else you want to promote?
I just want to say, before I leave here, just always remember your why. Okay. Because your why will keep you motivated. And your why has to be bigger than yourself. Ask yourself, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? If it's to help others, a lot of great things are going to happen to you.
And this is my why right here. So why am I doing this? Because I want to help, share my personal story, share my guests' personal stories, and then share your guys', as listeners, share your guys' stories. That way, eventually, whatever the story may be, it can actually help inspire somebody else who may be listening as well. So
if you want to always, you can follow me on, I got my website, is Keep It Moving Production, www.kimprod.com, for more information about me, myself, and other people. And thanks for having me.
Oh, I appreciate it. I mean, a great story, great in-depth episode here. I really really enjoyed it. So, man, I just
come from the gutter, man. I just come from the gut. I just come from the slum. Yeah. A lot of my friends are dead right now. Or they're dead, or they just gave one of my friends 100 years in prison. They're dead, or they have no hope, and they just want to rob people and kill people, or be a drug dealer, or some of them dream of being a sports. You can be a successful guy. You don't have to be in sports, but whatever you do, put your all in it.
Exactly.
Put your all in it. Don't half-ass. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
Don't half it. If you're not all in, you're halfway out.
Exactly. Don't just put your whole effort into it. Put your whole heart into it as well.
Yes. Just think about making the pavement and making a way for the people that come behind you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So that wraps up this episode. Yeah, thank you so much. So this wraps up the episode of Be My Guest with Brandon Horton. I hope you guys enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed sharing. Thank you for coming to share your story. I hope you had a good time.
I did.
Good, good. So we have another epic episode coming soon. So until then, be sure to join the movement on my Facebook page at Be My Guest with Brandon Horton and on Instagram at Be My Guest Den1. So that's Be My Guest, DEN1. And so what I do is I post new content as well as interact with you guys. So be sure to like and share and follow our page. We'll be sharing your life experiences in future episodes, so be sure to contact me either through Facebook, through Instagram, or through my email at bemyguestden@gmail.com if you want yours to be featured on a future episode. Till then, I love you guys, and we will talk soon.